Right now. We're going to be looking at the book of 1 Timothy come the end of August, 1st of September. And I'm going to be gone a week in August. We have a special guest speaker in August as well. And so we're just going to be kind of in a little topical thing for the next few weeks, one and done messages. And this week, I want to play off of what I talked about last week in the book of Colossians, and two individuals in particular, Mark and Demas. If you remember, these were people who were really relationally tied to the Apostle Paul. They were big supporters of Paul's ministry and Paul's life. And talked about last week, it's really important that as believers in Christ that we are connected to each other relationally. Now, you can't be connected to everybody. We don't have enough time for everybody, but there needs to be 8 or 10 people in your life, typically in a life group, a small group, where you can connect on a smaller basis and share life with one another. Well, Mark and Demas were two of those individuals. And Mark and Demas, their lives were headed in opposite directions. I talked about last week the fact that Mark was someone who gave up on Paul. Mark was a part of Paul's first missionary journey. And in the middle of that first missionary journey, Mark quit. He went home. He couldn't handle the heat. We don't know why he quit, but he gave up. And that frustrated Paul. And so when it came to the next missionary journey, Mark got back on track again, and he was willing to go on the next missionary journey, but Paul didn't want to have anything to do with him. But Barnabas, Mark's cousin, said, "No, I will take Mark under my wing." And so Paul and Barnabas, they divided, and they went separate ways on this next missionary journey. So, you know, as we look at the book of Colossians, so Mark has gotten back on track. And it got to a point about 11 years later where, hey, Paul was now once again confident about Mark. And Mark had come alongside Paul, and Paul said that that Mark was a very faithful supporter, very important in Paul's life. And so you have Mark, who's back on the right track, but then you have Demas. And Demas is someone who, at the end of Paul's ministry, he's not there anymore. He's fallen off the track. We don't know if Demas ever came back again, but here was a man who was faithful in the faith, in the ministry, and at the end of Paul's ministry, he's turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul. And so this morning, I want to talk about reigniting our passion for God. We are in the dog days of summer right now, aren't we? It's kind of hard to live in the desert in the summer, spiritually, even physically. And the summer months and our spiritual life, we can enter some low spots, and it can be draining. And I want to talk about how to reignite our passion for God, how to keep it going. And I'm going to illustrate with my garden. You guys have missed my garden, haven't you? And you know, I've loved talking about my garden. And I've got a few pictures of what my garden used to look like. Let me see if I can bring these up. This was my garden a few years ago. I was passionate about my garden. I was excited about having a vegetable and fruit garden. These are my strawberries. And look how they're in nice, neat row. Those were my zucchinis and butternut squash that I had planted. They all had their own little watering system, so that they would just kind of thrive. And I was very passionate about my garden. And, this is later on in the season. You notice how big my zucchini plants have gotten there. And my first season, I had a good harvest. Now my strawberries, not so much. But, I was enjoying my garden. I spent a lot of time in my garden. But then, I kind of lost my passion. You can't really see this picture very well. These are my blueberries and boysenberries. The boysenberry plant is in the middle, and it died. Okay? And you'll notice that the strawberries aren't there anymore. And someone said, are those milkweeds? I don't know if they're milkweeds or not. But I haven't had to do a thing in order to grow those weeds. That is those tallest plants there, those are my asparagus, but I haven't done anything with my asparagus, and I've taken on new priorities this year. And again, that's another picture of my wonderful garden today, but my new priority is this guy right here. And there was no way that I was going to be able to have a garden and this guy at the same time. We would be working against each other. So I have neglected my garden, and it's become less of a priority. But you know what? This garden, this thing isn't working very well. Okay. This garden, I think, is a good picture of what our spiritual life can become. This is a picture of what Demas's spiritual life had become. At one point, Jesus was a huge priority in Demas's life. But Demas's life got off track. He was more attracted to the world. He was distracted by the world and not a follower of Christ. And this is what happened in Demas's life, spiritually speaking. And this is what happens in our life. Maybe this is where you're at today. And what's going to be required for you to get back on track? Jesus says this in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. I like what it says in the Message Bible, this verse. The Message Bible says this, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy. Church, for our lives to stay on track spiritually, for us to reignite our spiritual life with the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be passionate about our relationship with Him. And why do we need to be passionate about our relationship? Because Jesus is passionate about you. He loves you passionately. And there is nothing that we can accomplish great in life without passion. We need passion in order to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, for Him to accomplish great things in our life. You know, I like having listened to some of the old-timers in our church, and I asked Chuck Wood before the service this morning, because I thought it was him who told me this about 10 years ago, that when the base was fairly new and all the employees pretty much lived on the base because there was no housing out here in Ridgecrest. Those who were worked on base, those who were engineers, they were all family out there. And they were very visionary. And life working on the base at that time was really exciting. And it was fun to get together. The men would get together and they would be talking about projects. And they were all neighbors of each other. But they would be talking about projects. And then they would all have the idea, hey, well, let's go to the office and let's work on this. And it was not unusual for base employees, engineers, to be working late at night on projects back then. They were very passionate. I think one of the reasons why they were very passionate, because they were all neighbors out there, living, sharing life with each other. But when it comes to accomplishing great things, whether it be at your work, or whether it be in the ministry, or in your spiritual life, you need passion. Mark became passionate about his relationship with God again. Demas, not so much. His life was headed in the other direction. And so that's the way it was with my garden. When my garden first came about, I was passionate about it. I would go out there every morning, and I would take the male flowers of my zucchini plant, and I would help pollinate the female flowers of my zucchini plant. I would just sit out there, I would admire my garden, and if I saw a weed begin to bud, who was even thinking about consuming this fertile soil, I took it out of there immediately. I loved my garden. I had put a lot of time in this garden, and I wanted my garden to be successful. You know what? I think that's a good illustration about our spiritual life as well. When we first come to Christ, Jesus is so real. Jesus is so close and intimate, and we want to spend time with him. But then, you know, things happen in our life, and it has the tendency of squeezing the life out of us spiritually. When it came to my garden, I loved the spring, but as the summer began to come, things began to get hotter and more humid, you know, the bugs came in, started eating my plants. Little varmints would come into my yard and eat the butternut squash or the zucchini. When it came to my garden, there were some things that took a long time for me to begin to enjoy the fruit of my labor. It took time, like asparagus. You know, you don't get asparagus in your first year. You don't even really get any asparagus, maybe a little bit of asparagus in your second year. It's in the third year that asparagus, you begin to reap the fruit of the harvest. And when it comes to the spiritual life, and when it comes to gardening, sometimes things take a lot of time. And we have to be patient. And then it's the summer. You know, the desert is not good for vegetable gardens. And things crisp up really fast. And that is really discouraging. So just like all these things happen in our physical life with things that we're passionate about, the same thing happens in our spiritual life. What does God want us to do to keep the passion going, to keep the passion alive? Well, look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. Isaiah says this, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. What Isaiah is saying there is, it's going to happen. It's going to be inevitable in all of our lives. We can't always live on the mountaintop. We're going to get tired. We're going to stumble. Going on, but they will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those who wait on the Lord. Friends, if you want to reignite your spiritual life, your passion for the Lord, you got to wait on Him. You got to come to Him. You got to spend time with Him. Especially in the low spots, when life is squeezing the spiritual out of you. I like what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. We've got to discipline ourselves. You know, our automatic default when it comes to our spiritual life is not spending time with God. It's neglecting our relationship with the Lord. And Paul is saying that we can't be lacking in zeal. We can't be lacking in passion. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Keep the fires going. We need to circle the word zeal and keep the word and fervor. We need to be focusing on that. So how do you keep from drifting away? Number one, you've got to keep the weeds out of your life. Keep the weeds out. The weeds are sin. Just for you know, I don't like this thing. It is not working smoothly. We need to keep the weeds out. Demas didn't keep the weeds out. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul says this, Demas wasn't with Paul because he loved this world and has deserted me. The temptation is always there, Christian. The world is always nagging at you, pulling at you, trying to distract you to get off track with your relationship with the Lord. Don't love the world more than Jesus. Listen at Paul's words in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. He says this, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called." He's writing to Timothy, but I would imagine that he had Demas in the back of his mind, whose life was probably floundering at this point as he wrote that first letter to Timothy. Paul knew what he was talking about because he has seen believers in his life and in his ministry who were hot for God, passionate for God in the beginning, whose lives faded away. Paul says, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, and love. For you see, friend, God is in the business of forgiveness. God is in the business of restoration. He wants you to come home. And if you're here this morning and you've lost your passion, the world is more attractive to you than your relationship with the Lord, I want you to know that you serve a Lord and Savior, God the Father, who's sitting on the porch right now, watching and waiting for you to come home like the prodigal son. And when you take that first step back into the presence of God, guess what? You're going to be welcomed with open arms. He's passionate about His love for you. We're going to get into that in just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 says this. I'm just going to turn this off right now. Well, no, I need to keep going. Okay. 1 Timothy 1 says this, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, Paul's talking about self, persecutor, an insolent opponent, but I received mercy. Paul knows what it's like to receive mercy. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants for you to receive mercy. Don't let failure be your last words. May your last words be, but I receive mercy. I know the grace and the love and the restoration, the redeeming work of God in my life. Want to stay passionate for God, or you want to reignite your passion for him? You're never going to find it through what the world has to offer. Never, ever, ever. And your life, your spiritual life, is going to look like my present day vegetable garden. A mess. Chaos. God wants to give you mercy. So weed the sin out of your life. The second thing you need to do if you want to reignite your passion for God is you need to resolve conflict. Resolve conflict. There are three emotions that kill passion in our life. They are resentment, jealousy, and prolonged anger. Look what the Bible says in Job chapter 5, verse 2. Job says this, resentment destroys the fool, and jealousy kills the simple. Job chapter 18, verse 4 says, you are only hurting yourself with your anger. Do you have some unresolved conflict in your life right now? Jesus is here telling you, you need to let it go. God knows that you can't handle those kinds of emotions in your heart and still be passionate for God. No. It's either one or the other. It can't be both. You cannot serve two masters. And some of you are struggling with resentment and anger, and you just can't let go. You need to let it go. Maybe you're here and you're saying to yourself, well, Pastor, if I let it go, I'll be letting him off the hook, and I don't want to let him off the hook. I didn't say let him off the hook. Let him off your hook. Put him on God's hook. God can do a whole lot better job at convicting them, getting their heart right with whatever's going on than you can. God wants to set you free. God wants to give you, restore that passion for him in your life. But for that to happen, you've got to resolve conflict. So what's robbing you of your passion? This wasn't an exhaustive list. Why have you lost your passion? How can you reignite your passion for him? Number three, you need to focus on God's passion for you. We need to focus on how passionate God is for each one of us. God loves you unconditionally. He's on the front porch waiting for you to come home right now. If you want your heart reignited, your passion for him reignited, you need to remind yourself of how much God loves you. Because he's crazy about you. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you. He's in love with you. And maybe you're asking, how do I know he's so passionate about me? Look at the cross. The cross is the most powerful example, picture of God's passion for us. Jesus died on Calvary's cross. In fact, the last week of Jesus' life is described as Passion Week. Passion about what? About you. Loving you and dying for your sin. Jesus died for you. Jesus stretched out his arms and gave up his life because he was saying, I'd rather die for you than live my life without you. This is how much God loves you. Jesus died for our sin. He's passionate. He's crazy about you. And so the first picture of how passionate God is for each one of us is the cross. And we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper this morning. We need to remember how much God loves us. If you want your passion for him to be reignited, it starts at the cross. And then the second picture God gave us of how passionate he is for us is the picture of marriage. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, husbands, love your wives just like Christ loved the church and laid himself down for her. The church isn't the building. The church is people. And God gave us the picture of marriage, the love between a husband and a wife, the passion that they experienced between each other, to show us the powerful motion of the emotion, the powerful passion that God has for each one of us. He's that passionate about us. He gave us the picture between a man and a woman in marriage. I had the privilege of marrying Tony and Amy Friday. What a beautiful wedding. What a fantastic celebration. We had a great time. But can we turn off the lights? I think it's kind of hard for you to see this picture. And it's kind of dark, but the stage lights and everything. But this is Tony and Amy's first dance. And I wish you could see up close. But they are looking in each other's eyes. And you know what? They are passionately in love with each other. God gave us that picture. God created the institution of marriage. It wasn't something that man schemed up on his own. And in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, God says, a man shall leave his mother and father and cling to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You know what? God loves this picture. God created this picture. God wants Tony and Amy to experience this love relationship between the two of them, but it doesn't end there. It's just illustrating how powerful God's emotions, God's feelings are towards you and me. And the first proof of how passionate God is about you is the cross. And the second picture is the marriage relationship. Where are you at this morning, friend? Is your passion waning? You know what? God knows. He knows exactly what you've been entertaining. He knows exactly what you've been doing. And the crazy thing about God, He's still madly in love with you. And waiting and longing for you to come home. And for you to come home, it starts by remembering all Jesus has done for you. And then working with zeal on that relationship, guarding that relationship, and spending time with Him. Come home. Let Him reignite that passion that you once had for Him. Let's remember, let's observe His great passion for us this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this time where we can just pause and praise You, God, for all that You've done and want to do in our life. Father, I pray that You will prepare our hearts for this very intimate time of worship and observance, Lord Jesus, of how You were so passionate for us. Lord, if there's one here this morning who's lost their passion, God, You know exactly where they're at. And my prayer is that, Lord, they would come home. That they would renew their relationship with You. Father, in this time of worship, as the worship team comes, as we prepare for the Lord's Supper, Lord, we lift up Jesus. We thank You for all that You've done for us. Would you stand with me, please? And we're going to sing.